Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. You know, today I'd like to talk about the pharmaceutical industry. We talked about it before on the show, but just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it actually just keeps going downhill. I got a letter, or I should say a postcard, from a pharmaceutical company to my practice, and it was advertising a drug called Vyvanse, and it was advertised to be prescribed for people who binge eat. So those are people who are obese and binge. You know, they can't control their appetite. And so their idea was that you as a physician should prescribe this medication to control their appetite. And I don't prescribe a lot of medications for these things, so I decided to look it up to find out what it was. And it turns out, it's basically an ADHD drug, and it's in the classification of speed, if you want to put it that way. I mean, you're just giving them an amphetamine to try to help them stop binge eating. And I looked at the patient forum, you know, how they write in and tell you their response to these things. And this one patient who was put on this medication because he got obese from taking an antidepressant. So it was my theory, which I've said many multiple times, and it's really tragic when patients are put on medications to alleviate the side effects of other medications. Now, this is a perfect example of a medicine that has so many side effects. Why don't you put the person on a diet, a high-protein diet, low-carbohydrate diet? That would put them in a much better position to stop craving because of sugar fluctuations in their bloodstream. But no, it's about putting somebody on something that's potentially addictive, that could affect every single system in their body, cardiovascular, you name it. And you wonder if someone will just have an addictive personality because they binge eat, for one thing, being put on a speed or an upper, what's the chance of them becoming addicted to that and actually having to have that part or that new drug affect what goes on with their life? You've just now pushed drugs on somebody. And you wonder, where the pharmaceutical industry stop? Where do they take a step back and really answer the question, what are we doing to help people not need a pharmaceutical drug? I mean, I understand that's what they do. When you're a hammer, everything's a nail. But it's just endless. These things are being used now off-label. They're creating medical conditions or acronyms that they advertise ad nauseum on TV. You see more drug commercials on TV than you do for anything else. I think maybe they might rival car commercials. But my goodness. And every time you turn on a news show, if you're still watching them, I mean, they're usually underwritten by the pharmaceutical companies. You know that they're the top 10 lobby groups on Capitol Hill. You know that they were involved with the crafting of the Affordable Care Act. You know, it's just a grit that they want everybody to be taking some sort of medication or some sort of vaccine. And they now have the power of the government behind them with these mandates. And it's so much of a uphill fight. If you don't have a backbone, if you don't take responsibility for your own health, if you don't ask your doctor, why do I need to be on this medication, that you're going to be put on something whether you like it or not. And not only is it bad for medicine, it's driving up the cost of healthcare. I can only imagine how much this medication is. There's no generic version of it that I'm aware of. I know it's probably some crazy amount of money per pill, like the other HIV. It's not an HIV pill, but it's to help HIV patients. It went from $13 $750 a pill before everybody stood up and took notice and were outraged about it. But that's the bottom line. I mean, if we sit here and take it, they're just going to continue to force it on us, charge anything they want, and make us pay for it and like it. I mean, it's all on us now as patients and doctors to really take control, take back control of the healthcare system. I mean, I know, Dave, you take medication. Have you noticed your cost of filling your prescriptions has gone up?
Oh, yeah. Yes, the pharmacist and I had a little discussion about that. And, you know, it's like everything else. The patient is, you know, you have no room to kick. You either take the medicine or, you know, I've got a physical coming up. I'm going to discuss it with my primary care physician about, do we stay on this or do we go to an alternative, or, you know, or is there an alternative? And we'll see.
Well, I'm curious to know how that conversation goes. You know, when you have an adult conversation with a physician, you start questioning them, or their regimen, their protocol. Are you going to get pushback at all? I mean, I know you're questioning, you're going to question how much something costs, which is awesome. You know, most patients don't. Patients come into my office every day. I tell them how much something costs before I do a procedure. They're never usually the ones that ask that question up front, which is really odd. That's what you need to do as a consumer. You should call your doctor's offices before you come in for your appointment, just like you're doing. You're actually taking the forefront. You're writing a letter, and you're asking up front, this is what I expect to get done. I want to know what my upfront costs and out-of-pocket costs are going to be. And you need to tell me what they are. And if they can't tell you, then they're not really... They don't have their finger on the pulse, one, of their practice, and two, they're not being your advocate. Because if they're just going along to get along, chances are you're going to end up paying more money, and you're not going to like it. I mean, that's really how the whole system is going. So I congratulate you on doing that, Dave. It's an excellent idea, and I think most people, or everybody, should do that before they see their physician.
Well, Dr. George, is it stepping out of line? You know, I know that ICD-10 has come into effect as of October 1st, which I know there are a lot of physicians that I don't want to say are confused by it, but it's certainly put a new burden on many physicians. At the same time, I don't think it's out of line to ask a physician, how are you going to code this and hold them to the fire?
No, I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to ask, especially if it's a yearly exam. You know, under the Affordable Care Act, one of the things that's supposedly good about it is that you can get yearly wellness checks that are covered, that are no charge. So colonoscopy should fall into that category. Mammograms should fall into that category. Yearly blood work, you know, for just an overview of your health status, that should count. So that shouldn't even be charged technically, because it should be eaten by the insurance company completely. If your doctor doesn't give you an answer, though, Dave, Blue Cross Blue Shield should tell you. If he doesn't or she doesn't, then they should obviously be the next level that you go to.
Well, let me ask, and I'm putting you on the spot, but I know you can handle that. The definition, we got it from Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're two things. Either you're going for preventive or for diagnostic. And my definition of diagnostic is, if I've got a problem, then I go to the doctor to have that problem diagnosed. If I don't have a problem, but he says, well, you need to have this every 2 years anyway, that's preventative, not diagnostic.
Well, that's a good question. Diagnostic is really just a category of you being set for a test to confirm a diagnosis. Preventative is a survey of wellness. So they're just doing it because this is the baseline for someone age blah, 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 or with a pre-existing of such and such. It's just they're making a general test, not because you are considering they have a disease state. Because that's really, you're doing it for a reason that's not preventative. That's why you went to the doctor. That doesn't count. But if you're doing a yearly, you know, every 2 years you need a colonoscopy because it's considered to be part of a health screen. That's what they're covering. That's a wellness check.
That's my thinking. So we'll see what the physician says. And I will let you know. You know that.
I know you will. I mean, ultimately, it's about communication. So you're on, and I've said it again before, this is the time now that you have to be really very aggressive about taking back your rights as a patient. So if you're not happy with communication, if your doctor doesn't, if your doctor is dismissive about a question that you have, doesn't want to take the time to answer your questions, or won't set aside a time. I understand the average doctor visit is 7 minutes now, so it's not like you're going to be able to go in there and just command time. But if you actually schedule an appointment around a consultation and they don't want to do that, or they short shrift you in that, you need to move on. I mean, honestly, it's time to get another physician, because your money, you're spending hard-earned money now. It's not like the insurance company is paying for anything anymore. The deductible is crazy, co-insurance is crazy, so you have more skin in this game. You know, it's on you, really, if you're spending money at good money after good money, and you're unhappy. So let me. I looked up what the preventative services are under the Affordable Care Act, and the preventative there's 15 for adults. Screening for an aortic aneurysm, abdominal aortic aneurysm, alcohol misuse, screening and counseling. I don't know, aspirin use, that's an interesting one, for men and women of certain ages. Blood pressure screening for all adults. Cholesterol screening for adults at certain ages or at higher risk. Colorectal cancer screening for adults over 50. So that would include colonoscopies. Depression screening for adults. Type 2 diabetes screening for adults with high blood pressure, diet counseling for adults at high risk for chronic disease, HIV screening for all adults at high risk, and of course, immunization. You knew that was going to be covered. obesity screening and counseling, STD, sexually transmitted disease prevention and counseling for adults at high risk, tobacco use screening, and syphilis screening. So all of those things are covered for men and women. So definitely your colonoscopy, by definition, should be covered. And you should know the answer to that, because primary care doctors are on, totally on with that. You know, they know exactly what they're, I'm sure they know their bottom line. If they have to give up something for free, they're paying attention to it.
Well, it will be interesting to get his response.
Oh, please let me know.
Right. You know, right now, we're up against our first break, Dr. George.
Sure, let's take it. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Now, we talk a lot about personal responsibility and taking your power back and valuing yourself. That's one of the things that gives you power in this society that we're living in. This is getting really difficult. Things are changing very quickly. And I don't know if you heard about this, Dave, but yesterday, I don't know if it was yesterday or a few days ago, Loretta Lynch, the person heading the Justice Department, went to the UN along with the Vice President, and they announced a UN-US initiative to basically have a UN police force in certain cities in our country. So we're talking about foreign entities, perhaps, coming in and policing our citizens under the guise of looking for terrorists. That, to me, is a big step towards this move towards globalism. With the TPP just got, I don't know if they passed it, but they came to a consensus on it. So that's on a track to pass as well. Nothing that's going on seems to have our say-so as citizens. Our Congress has been just neutered, and we're moving in a system that whatever the global society or whatever the UN wants, we're doing, and our laws are being completely overtaken. One of those things includes our health system. So that's one of the reasons, for example, why the genetically modified food labeling movement is being killed in its crib by this system. This is transnational companies who don't want to spend any money, who don't want their product, their market share, to be disrupted because people actually know what they're putting in their mouths. And they are trumping whatever our states say. If your state passes a law that they want to label genetically modified foods or non-GMO foods, that's going to be superseded by this TPP law. Mandatory vaccination, that's another thing. These are things that affect us that we cannot go to our legislature and argue because they don't have power. This is what we need to start paying attention to. Things that are happening to us, that are being put upon us without our say-so, while we're wasting time doing FanDuel, you know, fantasy football, and other things that are completely distracting. It's great to be distracted to a certain degree, but you need to pay attention to this. This is what you need to be up in arms about. The mandatory vaccine rule that got passed in California, where you can't even have a religious exemption, and you can't send your child to school. They want to disallow your child to go to school at all in California if they're not vaccinated. That's ridiculous. I mean, look at the flu vaccine this year. They've already announced that it's not even the right strains that are in the flu vaccine for this year's expected viral outbreak. Why the heck would you want to take the vaccine when they've already told you it's not going to work, but they're going to mandate if you take a flu vaccine? I can't remember the last time they had the right amount of the right identified flu strains in the vaccine. Can you?
You know, it's sort of like the lottery. You probably stand a better chance of winning a couple of bucks in the lottery than you do on knowing what strain of flu may or may not come your way in a year.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that they could never get it right is the bad part, but they won't let you, you know, be in a hospital setting, even if you're a vendor, not only if you're a physician or nurse, but if you're a vendor. So you're coming in and you're selling soda to the hospital or you're selling medical supplies. You have to be vaccinated and prove that you are before you step foot in that hospital. You know, what makes it really hypocritical is that you're more likely to get a multiple drug-resistant bacteria in a hospital than you are as an outside, you know, individual walking around. Does that even make sense? If these things are so sterile and awesome, you shouldn't be at a risk of getting a multiple drug-resistant infection in a hospital setting while they're pushing vaccines out the yin-yang on you. And not only the vendors and the doctors, but the patients, too.
When you get admitted
to the hospital, that's part of what their workup is. They just give it to you.
Now, is that, you know, my question is that really legal? Can they give me something that I didn't ask for?
Well, that's where informed consent comes in. And because it doesn't exist in the vaccine land, that's where you lose your rights. I mean, this has become such a money-making entity. As soon as they passed the law in 1986 that the drug companies could not be sued for any untoward effect of their drug, it was on. I remember I talked about this back in the early 80s. You couldn't get a vaccine because they weren't making any money on them. They were going out of business. They stopped making them. It was going, you know, completely extinct. And then this law passed where you can come up with anything you want. If something happens to the patient, they have to go to a vaccine court and go through some sort of arbitration, and then the drug company is basically off the hook. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter if they test it or not. As long as they say it's a vaccine, they're held blameless. We now have over 100 vaccines in the pipeline because of this. And as this flu vaccine goes, so goes the rest of them. Because if they can set this as a mandate and as a precedent where everything is mandated, any vaccine is mandated because we know it's best for you, you're getting the rest of them. Kids get over 80 vaccines by the time they're 18 years old. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't need that many. They don't work in the first place. Not most of them. I mean, and I'll give you an example. The measles outbreak in California, one, was from an unvaccinated individual that came into the country. They don't have to tell you this thing. And two, people who did get it, a lot of them, I think most of them, were actually vaccinated. So they actually should have been protected against getting the measles virus, and they weren't. So these vaccines, I don't care, and this is a truism, right? It doesn't matter if you're pro-vaccine, against vaccine. If you get the actual virus, I've had measles, I've had mumps, I've had chicken pox, I am more protected for the rest of my life than anybody who's had them to the vaccine, period. Because my immune system is much more, it's revved up, it's done it naturally. When you become immune naturally, that is the best protection. Artificial vaccination is never as good as the original, of usually getting the vaccine, the bug. It just isn't. I still have titers. This is years now down the road. My titers are probably higher than someone who's been vaccinated as a child. You know, why do you think you need boosters? Just for a reason. Why do you have to get the flu vaccine every year? These things are short term, and what they do is they actually artificially rev up your immune system by putting aluminum in it, putting other irritants, we call them adjuvants, in there, that mercury. This is still going on in these vaccines. And, you know, this is pretty scary, but it's true, and the CDC admitted it. Some of these vaccines, the polio vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, were cultured in cancer-causing viruses. SV40 was one of them. That's the virus that causes simian leukemia. And there's been an explosion of cancer in our country, in the world, since a vaccine was introduced. And they admitted it. You can Google this. I think I've actually put this on my Facebook, on Medicine on Call. So you have to wonder what they're using to culture, what kind of animal cell culture they're using. You shouldn't be using any kind of cancer culture to do this thing. Because as you inject this, it becomes part of the person's DNA. It becomes part of whatever you eat. You know, are what you eat, well, you are what you inject as well. And that's a problem. That's my bad. So that's not helping the situation now for people coming out with all sorts of cancers. There was also a vaccine link with mesothelioma. You know, they found the same DNA from the cancer viruses in people with that type of lung cancer compared to other lung cancers. So you wonder, again, is this some sort of, you know, a cancer apocalypse, of a side effect, whether it's known or unknown, of the vaccine industry? So you really have to protect yourself on all fronts. Just because someone says it's true, does it make it so? Just because they say it's safe, does it make it so? And if you value your health and you value your body, it's time for you to do your due diligence and decide whether or not you want to put that in your body or you want to put it in your child's body. And anybody who says different and you hold to your beliefs, then you need to stand up for them, because if you don't, you will be railroaded.
Are there any, to your knowledge, any hospitals like the one out in Oklahoma City, that don't vaccinate if you come in?
Any standard hospital that's following any kind of public protocol, you know, that means they're taking Medicare, they're taking any commercial insurance, especially Medicare, they're doing that. I mean, that's part of the hospital algorithm. You know, a couple of years ago, I had a doctor on from New York, and he said, he's a nephrologist, a kidney doctor, and he was talking about how they had these protocols and these algorithms in place for people with diabetes, and they were really expensive. You had to have, you know, all these steps and all these medications, whether or not the patient needed them because of their diagnosis. There's no thought involved anymore, Dave. It's all about, you go into a grid. And if you really look at, and I've been in these hospitals where I've had to work, where they're the top hospital, the top 100 hospitals, I'm convinced they're the top hospitals because those are the ones that follow these algorithms to the letter. No questions asked. Just you put it out, you put out the protocol, and we'll follow it hook, line, and sinker. Those are now becoming the top hospitals in the country. Not so much for outcome, just because they follow compliance. That's not the best hospital. I tell you, it's the most expensive one, probably. But I'm not sure it's the best. You know, it's you need to do your shopping. Shop around. If you can stay out of the hospital system as much as possible, don't get sick. That's number one. And if you do, you need to stay on the independent side. Small, independent, boutique, self-owned, not by a corporate interest. That's where the best care is now.
And hard to find.
No, not really. It's not. Here in Atlanta, you can go to Urgent Cares, Highland Urgent Care.
I'm in from a hospital standpoint.
Sorry?
I'm in from a hospital standpoint.
Oh, yeah, from a hospital standpoint, difficult. You know, but not, you know, if you're going to go into that system, you need to have your eyes open and you need to make sure that you ask questions.
And actually somebody with you.
Oh, absolutely. And you have the financial person come into your room and start asking them questions about the bill. You know, what are you charging for this? When you finally get your bill, you need to go over it line by line and make sure that it's not double charge, that the miscellaneous section is not huge, and that you're actually, that they did what they said they did. All those things become extremely important in controlling your hospital costs.
With that, Dr. George, we're up against another break. So we'll take it and be back on Medicine on Call right after this.
Hey, y'all, Scott here. So you made a little bit of money in this horrid economy, only to find that the Fed has more or less outlawed saving. So into the treacherous waters of the stock market bubble you go. But how to make a little money without too much risk of losing it all? Check out WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who opens a very real window into his main account, updating his subscribers on the facts of and the reasoning behind all his market moves. Follow along on paper or with real money and see what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I talk to my patients about how you navigate this system, and it's not easy. I mean, we're fighting. As soon as they pass this last bit or upheld the last bit of the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies have gone absolutely wild. They are just arbitrarily denying claims. My favorite is we go do the pre-cert, we get the pre-certification number, we submit the claim. It gets denied because, it doesn't have a pre-certification number. So we call them up and say, you know, look, we did it. This is the number. The lady looks into the computer and goes, oh, yes, you're right. Instead of paying us right away, it has to be resubmitted. We have to wait another 40 days to be paid. So now it's been about 2.5 months since I've done this case. We did everything we're supposed to, and they're not paying us in a timely way. Are they going to give us any, pay for any interest? No, that's not going to happen. I mean, they change the rules. They don't tell us anything. And then they tell you, oh, by the way, the rule is now changed, so you're not going to be paid. And oh, the patient isn't meant to pay either. So, I mean, this is the system that doctors are living under now. You have to ask, why would doctors ever want to take insurance? And it's going to get worse for patients because more doctors are going to say, I'm not going to do this. This is not worth it. The hassle isn't worth it. Pay me cash and let's keep it moving. That's really going to happen more and more. I'm one of those, and I'm really moving away from insurance because it's just, you can't win. No matter how you play the game, even if you play it correctly, they have the upper hand and they know it and they're taking full advantage of it. And if the insurance companies continue to get larger, you know, Pac-Man each other further, I believe we're going to have maybe one, maybe two insurances at the end of this. You know, I think I've talked to you before about how Aetna is trying to acquire Humana, and Blue Cross has put buying Cigna on the table. I don't know if it's been approved yet, but it's in the pipeline. That's terrible for doctors and patients. That's the worst thing that can happen. You know, they're just glorying in the power that they have over us. And the gall to say that they're not making money and that they need to have subsidies from the government because they're not making enough money is just nauseating. I don't know. You belong to Blue Cross, right? Is it Anthem or Blue Cross of Georgia?
Right. You know, again, it was sort of one of these things that Georgia decided to go with Blue Cross, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah. And, you know, they all have their issues. I mean, the main issue is they're making money, and they're pushing more of the cost onto the patients. And because of that list I gave at the beginning of the show of preventative services that are free, that means that they're going to shift that cost to make other things more expensive. And they're doing that. Or they're just denying them whole cloth. I can't believe that allergy testing is considered experimental now in some of these insurances. If you go to the pulmonologist and you do a pulmonary function test, that's considered to be experimental. That is one of the most important tests that a pulmonologist does. For asthmatics, people with COPD, emphysema, that's an underpinning to their practice. How can that be experimental? You know, next thing you know, they're going to call doing an endoscopy for us, a nasal endoscopy, experimental. That's what they're doing. And it changes. It might be covered for a certain period of time, and then it stops getting covered. It's just, you cannot, you're always one step behind in the system as the practicing doctor, because they have the driver's seat. And, you know, I can understand if it was really about patient care, and it really was about cutting costs to make it more reasonable and streamlining, or making it transparent. You should actually be able to go on the Blue Cross Blue Shield website, look up colonoscopy, and find out everything you want to know. What's the allowed amount? If there are out-of-pocket costs that you'd be expected to pay, like your deductible, etc. All those things. What's the criteria? What should the doctor, what are the diagnoses that would cover the colonoscopy being preventative? All those things should be on a website. You should not have to call. And if you're lucky, get somebody instead of an answering machine and to get these answers, or better yet, get told, oh, ask your doctor. That's not how the system should run. It should be completely transparent. And if you could shop around, and if doctors would know exactly what we're getting paid for whatever we're doing, we would also shop around. The bottom line is they'd have to raise their rates to doctors. They'd have to lower their out-of-pocket cost to patients, because that's how you run a good business plan that is customer-friendly. That's how you do it. But I actually did an interview the other day with a caller who said that when they paid the doctors a fair wage, the cost of healthcare actually went down. And it sounds really screwy to say something like that, but it actually makes sense. doctors actually got a chance to spend time with the patient. They could take care of more than one problem at a time. They got to talk about prevention and strategies that you can use so that you wouldn't need the medication. And the patient was better taken care of. Now we've got a system where it's 7 minutes on average, if you're lucky to get the doctor, or you get a nurse practitioner or physician assistant who is following everybody now, is following a cookbook strategy, where you come in with one complaint, and it's all about giving you a medication to get you out the door so you can get to the next patient. And if there's a complication or a side effect, you get on another medication to treat that. That's the mentality, the average mentality of a practicing healthcare practitioner now. It's not treat to cure, it's treat to manage, and it's treat to get you out the door. And that's expensive because it all revolves around prescriptions. It doesn't revolve around procedures so much. That's another misconception. They're not paying for surgeries, really. You have to jump through all sorts of hoops before you get to the surgery or the lab test or the radiology test. You have to manage them medically first. That means plenty of antibiotics, whatever the medication is, for months on end sometimes, before you meet the criteria to go to the next level. You know, and I've made the comment that if, and I've done this and said this, in the emergency room, if they just called the ENT consult instead of ordering a CT scan, if the clinical acumen was better to figure out whether or not someone had a paratonsil or abscess, they wouldn't be ordering all the other tests because it's a clinical diagnosis. So you're getting radiated by CT, you were put in the hospital for IV antibiotics when you should have an ENT come in and just drain the abscess. Or better yet, the emergency room doctor. Because emergency room doctors really don't do very much anymore. They do heart attack, they do stroke. Anything outside of that, they call a consult. And that's really not what emergency room medicine, board certified emergency medicine, is all about. So you've got such a specialty-minded mentality. You know, I don't mean it in that sense. If you're an ENT and you have a specialty, you should be consulted, no problem. But if you have a primary care doctor or an emergency medicine doctor, they're supposed to have a certain fund of knowledge that crosses into everybody. You shouldn't have to come out to an ER to remove earwax because an emergency room doctor doesn't want to do it or can't do it. That's a waste of payer money, of the patient's money, to do that. We need to go back to basics where everybody's trained, everybody has their fund of knowledge, and they use it. But again, once you're compensated in such a way that you have to do the volume, get them in, get them out, it's not about thinking anymore. It's about making money for the hospital. This is what you get. The system is broken, and unfortunately, Affordable Care Act's not fixing that. Still there, Dave?
Yeah. I was just thinking, everybody looks to the government instead of looking to themselves.
Sure.
We're going to be starting a new show shortly on self-survival, and part of it, and I've already told the host that I'd like to have you on her show, in that part of it's, it's not only self-survival from the standpoint of food and what you eat, but it's also taking care of yourself. And
the first rule is don't get sick, honestly, so you don't end up on these medications. I mean, I don't have a problem with people taking medication if they need it, but I'm not so sure everybody needs to be on it. I don't believe that there is a one-size-fits-all approach. There are genetic variations, and there's actually testing I found out that you can do for this. So, for example, if we drink coffee, you drink a cup of coffee, I drink a cup of coffee right before bedtime, you can't go to sleep, you're up all night, and I go to sleep and dream and sleep like a baby, is because we have a genetic variation where I'm able to break down certain medications, certain compounds better than somebody else. And you can actually test for that. So you can actually tell if someone's not going to do well with a decongestant or with a certain class of medication, and you wouldn't put them on it. You could actually know beforehand whether this is going to be a successful treatment. Imagine that. If people were allowed to test for that or have that included in their testing regimen, that would be a good one to add to prevention, because you can forgo a lot of complications. For example, if someone took a blood pressure medicine, and for some people, they'd have to take two or three because they metabolize them so quickly that it didn't work long enough to give them relief. Another person, you gave them the standard dose, it would drop their blood pressure so fast that they would actually pass out and maybe break their hip. These are things that actually are real-time positive things that you knew you could prevent. And those are things that medicine doesn't pay any attention to. Who knows whether or not you're going to respond to a vaccine in a good way or not? Nope. I mean, you could probably test. You could probably know before you gave a child a vaccine as an infant if you should wait until they're 3 or 4 years old. Things like that are really key. But the medical industry doesn't think along those lines. It's just, give it. And if it's not good, tough. And now we're into the position where if it's not good, oh well, my bad, I don't pay anything for it, next. That's completely inappropriate.
It's crazy. Well, we're up against that, our final break. So we'll be back on Medicine On Call with Dr. Elena George right after these messages.
Welcome back to Medicine On Call. You know, in the break, we're talking about the government, about Congress, whether or not we can expect changes down the road when and if the new administration takes over. And I say if, because some of them are just extensions of what we're dealing with now, frankly. And it's a different name, but the same policies, the same mindset. So basically, it's just an extension. But, you know, if we wait for them to hopefully help us, it's not going to be any better. You have to make your change now. You know, I've talked about, you heard the commercials on breaks about Liberty HealthShare, and that is the future. We don't have to wait for the insurance companies to be brought to heel. We don't have to wait for the government to repeal. They're never going to repeal anything. If they were serious, all they have to do is get rid of the mandate. They wouldn't have to worry about repealing every single tenet of this law. Just take the mandate away. Give people choice to pick their own product of what works best for them. Liberty Health Shares now has 10,000 families in their system, growing 500 families a month. That's the rate that it's growing. At this rate, it becomes an extremely, it already is a powerful alternative, but it becomes an even more powerful alternative for people to choose. They have something called Liberty Direct, which has come online for people who are in direct primary care practices. So it actually will give them monies towards paying their monthly subsidy, $60, $80, or $100 for a family. So $60 for an individual, $100 for a family that they'll pay per month towards your monthly subscription. That means you're getting paid to go to the doctor, honestly. I mean, it doesn't make it any clearer than that, because the direct primary care practices, and mine is one of them, cover everything in that office for that monthly subscription fee. It's like a membership, like a gym membership. And if you knew that your family would have to pay $100 a month, and each one of you could come in and get whatever you needed done, God forbid you want a shot, flu shot, that would be covered. If you wanted to have earwax removed in my office, that would be covered. A hearing test. If you had a sinus infection, instead of going to the emergency room or the urgent care, you could come and see your primary care doctor or me as your ENT, and that would be the visit. You wouldn't have to whip out your wallet. You wouldn't have to pay anything. That's the future of healthcare. It exists now. You don't have to wait for the insurance company to pre-search you. You don't have to hope that your doctor codes it correctly, because there is no coding. It's you paying a flat fee upfront for care, prepaying for care, what it is. But you do know what you're going to get, because there is a cafeteria list of what's covered in your subscription fee. And it's fair. Even medications are covered. If your doctor has a pharmacy in their office, you can get your medication covered in that $65. Some people do that. It can cost you $4 or $5 for your monthly prescription. That's happening right now all over the country. If you go to aapsonline.org, if you email me, I'll be happy to give you more information about my practice. There's urgent cares here in Atlanta, Florida, Wichita, Oklahoma City, you name it. Their doctors are already doing it. And the more you guys, as patients, choose these systems, that you take your money out of the system that's broken, and that's basically gouging you, and start spending it wisely, you'll have a lot more power in the system. If they don't understand you going up to Capitol Hill to ask for something, unless you have billions of dollars in your back pocket, they're not listening to you. I mean, I don't know why we think that that's the case anymore. If you stop paying these big-ticket insurance companies, just take your money out. Put it into medical cost sharing, for example. Go to supplemental insurance like Aflac, Mutual Overhaul, your choice. You can actually spend a fraction of what you're paying now. Why? Why on earth would you want to stay in a system that's costing you hundreds of dollars in premiums a month, thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket costs per year, where you still have to beg to get treatment? That doesn't even make sense. Anybody listening to this show, I would think at this point, if they could, have explored Liberty Health Share. Otherwise, why are you listening to my show? It's not about entertainment. It's about information. And I'm giving it to you, and I have given it to you for the past 4 years. It's ridiculous if you don't do it. And if you sit there and you complain about, it's so expensive, I don't want my doctor, oh, woe is me, I really don't have a lot of sympathy for you. Because this show has been all about answers, all about choices. As I've learned, I've passed that on to my listeners. And there shouldn't be one listener or a friend of a listener who hasn't explored this, and if it works for them, hasn't jumped into it. We're ahead of the curve. There's no reason to be victimized in this system. None. Unless you want to be. I'm not. I'm making my moves now because I understand that as the years progress and as the insurance companies get more locked down, then I'm going to become a slave to that system. They're going to actually decide even more of what I do for my patients than they do now. That's unacceptable to me. And my goal is to make sure that I go cash only, fee-for-service, subscription-based, as soon as I can possibly do it. That's my goal. Because the Hippocratic Oath, as we've talked about multiple times, it should be, is the underpinning of quality health care. Anybody who's not practicing that because of their pocketbook's under lock or their mind is controlled, then you should not be in their office because they are not working for you. They are working against you. And if their fiduciary responsibility is no longer to you, it's to a corporate entity, whether that's the hospital, whether that's their ACO, whether that's their co-op, whatever the system is, unless the doctor controls their own purse strings, they are manipulated. And I don't mean in a good way. So I can't stress it enough. You should go to libertyoncall.org and you should find out what they have. I was telling Dave in the break that they're coming up, not yet online, but it's going to happen soon. They're going to have a special plan for Medicare patients. So they're now going to be able to have a third choice that's different from AARP, that's different from anything else, that gives them the power of the medical cost sharing model. And the basic tenet of it, and I think this is excellent, the way to think about this, is it's self-pay patients who pool their resources, who decide that they want to control their own power of the purse and get discounts and cover each other's expenses. That is the essence of medical cost sharing. Everything else is just fluff, but that's really what it does. And when people ask you, or you ask yourself, how can it be that cheap? I don't understand. How can it be $125 to $199 a month with $500 out of pocket, and I'm covered from $125,000 to $1 million per occurrence per year? The answer is because Liberty HealthShare, as a self-pay entity, negotiates the actual cost of healthcare, not the inflated cost. When you go to your insurance or through your insurance, That is not the true cost of healthcare. They are jacking up the price administratively from the doctor charging more because they know they're going to get a fraction. All those things that are just jerry-rigged in that system is what you're paying for. They can't tell you how much it costs to have a procedure done in the hospital when you ask them because they make it up. So that's a problem. And when you go in there with your pocketbook as your lead and you say, I'm paying out of my pocket. What's the best deal you can cut me? And I've said it before, you get 50% discount, 70% discount when you say that. That's what Liberty HealthShare does for you. They are the ones going with the pocketbook and saying, we're not paying for this. We know what the real costs are. This is what we're going to give you. Are you going to take it? 9 times out of 10, the hospital and the doctor takes it, but you don't have to do all the work. That's what it is, right? That's the power of you pooling your resources with thousands of other people across the country and growing. And when we actually have a market share that's really, really parallel in power, and it's getting there, but when it's parallel in power to the insurance companies, they will stop ignoring us. They will stop giving us nothing and telling us we should like it because it's all about money. And when they start losing business, then they'll start coming around. That is how the things are going to change, Dave. It's not begging your congressman to vote a certain way. Just care less about what you want. It's about him getting elected. The only time he cares is when it's voting season. Then he'll come and give you a crumb. But unless we stop asking for crumbs, we're not going to stop getting them. Your body is your most important thing. That's the only thing that you can control. And if you don't, somebody else will control it for you. You have to make a choice about whether you want to be empowered or you want to be victimized. I suggest strongly, again, that you go to libertyoncall.org. And if you want the number, it's 1-800. Let's see if I can get it for you.
Well, in the interim, they can go to our website, americaswebradio.com, and there's Liberty on Call. Click on that, and it'll take you right to them.
That's true. And the number is 800-714-6993. So I'm challenging my listeners to take control of your health. Don't just listen to me. Look it up. Be partner in your care. Take back your power. If you don't, you're going to regret it.
Dr. George, we're out of time, but everything you've said today, people have to take it to heart, and you're right on everything.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can get my book on drelenageorge.com and understand everything that came before so you can figure out how to navigate it in a way that's best for you.
Dr. George, as always, thank you, and look forward to another Medicine On Call a week from now, and people going to your website and to our website and checking out Liberty On Call. Thank you, Dr. George.
You're welcome. Have a great week, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.